Good to have you on board. Mitch Moss along with JVT filling in for Paulie Howard. We're live in downtown Las Vegas. Circa Resort and Casino is your spot in 5 minutes. Can't wait to talk to Paul Charchi in Fantasy Football Hall of Famer. We'll go over a bunch of bets that he likes as we get ready for the football season. Future bets, awards, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Can't wait to talk to him. And by the way, our thanks to Moneyline Marv on Twitter. Sent over a screen grab of the Dodgers-Padres game tonight. Again, shop around here. Looks like Dodgers as low as minus 111. Padres as high as plus 110.
Mm.
Almost close to no VIG.
Yeah.
If you have access to all these books across different states in the country. Okay, so player props for tonight. To score the first basket of the game. Booker is plus 390. Ayton is plus 490. George 6-1. Bridges 750. You said go down the board a little bit.
Right.
Try to find somebody like George is operating as a point guard. Same thing maybe with Booker. Drive, dish, get it out. Somebody has an open three. Whatever.
The game plan will be to get it out of the hands of the best player.
Right? Yeah.
Especially when it comes to the first possession. So any of the ancillary pieces around there. How about a Mikal Bridges, corner three?
I can absolutely buy in at plus 750.
Right. That's the area that I would look. Did you say Reggie Jackson was like 11-1?
10-1 now.
10-1.
Top of the key.
Right. I mean,
three-pointer, yeah.
The Clippers have been living on drive and kick opportunities to all their shooters. How about Reggie Jackson becoming a knockdown shooter?
Where did this come from?
When he's the third best guy, he's been great.
Oh, man. When he gets rolling, it's like all of a sudden, this guy can't miss.
When the second half of that Jazz game six, every time it left his fingers, it's in.
Oh, yeah.
You knew it.
Oh, yeah. You know, I liked him years ago, and then he just like turned into a, I don't know, he wasn't as... His arc has been odd.
Right.
Right. Because I expected him to keep ascending, and it never happened like that. Now, all of a sudden, after this valley that he hit, he's kind of peaking again right now.
Yep.
Okay, so point props for tonight, the two biggest on the board. Paul George and Devin Booker are each 30.5, and we said this earlier. I'll say it again. I mean, Booker is minus 150 to the over. George is minus 134. I would look at the plus money on the under.
Right.
These guys... There's so much talent in the NBA, and Booker had a career game. He can go off for 35 whenever he wants, especially with no Chris Paul. But I would look at under 30.5 with him.
Yes, and the Clippers have already made it known in terms of the game plan, right? Not picking him up as high and allowing him to get momentum on a lot of those mid-range shots. They're going to change the way that they defend him 100%, especially if Morris is out there. All of a sudden, the Clippers become a lot more switchable. I would tend to bet that under for Devin Booker. Maybe some assists. Right, maybe that's the way you attack that, yeah. But points under.
Can I throw some three-point props at you?
Okay.
Paul George, 3.5, over plus 120.
Four's a lot.
Four's a lot for him to get to right now.
I'd go under. He's going to attempt. I don't think he'll attempt them either. He got in trouble with some bad shot quality in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I think you see it taking a step back here a little bit.
Booker, over 2.5, is plus 112.
Go under. Well, I'm always going to tend to go under, but I think under.
And does Reggie Jackson's hot hand continue? If so, it's 2.5, but the over is minus 175.
See, that's when I would tend to go over. His opportunities are going to come from three-point shooting.
You want to pay the 175?
That's high, though.
Crowder's 2.5, minus 103.
Man.
Bridges, 1.5, minus 152.
Ooh.
Okay, this is going to be a lot of fun. Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchi, an Offensive Rookie of the Year, MVP, Super Bowl long shots coming up next.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Bryson DeChambeau opens as a 12-1 favorite to win the Travelers Championship at the TPC River Highlands in Cromwell, Connecticut. Dustin Johnson, 14-1. Brooks Koepka, 16-1. The Boston Red Sox have a half-game lead over Tampa Bay in the American League East Division. Boston, $1.05 dog at Tampa Bay today, laying $1.15, 8.5 over at Tropicana Field. The Rays have dropped 6 consecutive games. NBA Western Conference Finals, Game 2 today. Phoenix without Chris Paul, laying 5.5 against the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard, 224.5 the total. Be sure to check out our new betting splits feature on VSiN.com. Before you place your next bet every day, we're posting the latest splits for games at current odds and what percentage of bets and money being placed on each game. Go to VSiN.com and check out the betting splits plus live odds, line moves, and game analysis. Makes VSiN.com the best place to visit before your next bet. With your action update, I'm Mike Sena.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
time to Follow the Money with your hosts, Mitch Moss and Polly Howard.
Welcome aboard. Go check out the new feature that we have on the website, which is vsin.com. Every day we're posting the latest betting splits on every game in the major sports with current odds and what percentage of bets and money are being placed on each game. Check this info daily to find out which games are seeing the most tickets written and if that matches the money coming in on those games to help you find a betting edge. And of course, we have all of the odds, data, and analysis for every game as well. Start your next sports bet at vsin.com. Mitch Moss along with Jonathan Von Tobel filling in for Pauly Howard today. This is going to be a lot of fun. Our good friend and Fantasy Football Hall of Famer Paul Charchian joins the show with GuillotineLeagues.com, which we'll mention here this hour. Hey, pal, it's good to see you again. How's your summer going?
It's going great. Thank you very much. We're unmasked and we're partying and seeing friends, and you know, it's great. Life's good. So much better than this time last year, right?
Yes, no question. I would say, though, draft lottery again for the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. The franchise stinks.
Yes.
Right? Yep. And the Twins. Whew,
well,
mama.
Well, okay. Twins are a total disaster. The Wolves, actually, after the All-Star break, they played playoff basketball. Yeah. There's actually a lot of hope for the Timberwolves right now. And if they can, you know, against all odds, I believe they have to get one of the top two picks to retain their pick. If they manage to pull that off, everything changes for this franchise. It's actually a pivotal day coming up tomorrow in the lottery.
Hey, tonight, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight it is.
Tonight, thank you. Thank you, yes.
Did Anthony Edwards get screwed out of the Rookie of the Year?
God, did he ever. You know, if LaMelo Ball's name was Bill Johnson,
yes,
he'd have gotten like two votes, you know. But people early on, you know, Ball was way better at the beginning of the season, and people early on just sort of decided he was the guy, that he was going to live up to the Ball name, and that was the end of it. Anthony Edwards was so much better in the second half of the season in most every regard. Yeah, maybe he's not as good of a passer, but in almost every regard, Anthony Edwards was a better player playing for a team that played better, and he was arguably the best player on the Timberwolves. So we feel like Anthony Edwards got screwed out of that job.
I think you're right, JVT. There's no time for a rebuttal. We got to move on to football.
I only penned a piece that LaMelo Ball should have won it the second he went down.
Okay, all right. So Charge, you've been looking at this stuff now, I'm guessing, like for weeks, months. I don't. I will be completely honest. Yeah. I'm not completely. You know, I'm going to be at some point in the next week or two, month, whatever, where I want to be with football. I'm not there quite yet. I do have a couple of future bets, though, and I want to talk about who you like. So you have your eye on a couple of long shots to win the Super Bowl right now? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And these are, you know, these are teams that I would say I think are going to go, but we can make a compelling case at very long odds for two teams, one in the NFC, one in the AFC. And most years, somebody shows up in the Super Bowl that's off script. And, you know, it was 49ers a couple of years ago. Let's start with the Washington football team at 5,000-1. It's 50-1. Now, and here's why they make sense. Their defense is great. Some key ranks for Washington from last year. Points allowed, fifth. Yards allowed, fifth. First downs allowed, third. Sacks, fifth. Sacks percentage, fourth. Yards per pass attempt, fourth. This is a really, really good Washington defense. And last year's quarterbacking was atrocious with Alex Smith and Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen. Their respective Pro Football Focus ranks as quarterbacks were 28th, 38th, and 25th. So terrible quarterbacking. And now you get Ryan Fitzpatrick, a major step up. You know, not perfect, but he was actually the NFL's second most accurate passer last year with Miami. So you get a competent seasoned quarterback surrounded by a shocking amount of offensive talent. Running back Antonio Gibson was very good last year and figures to be much better this year in his second year. Terry McLaurin, ready to blossom in his third season at wide receiver, already good. He could go to great. Washington added jackknife receiver Curtis Samuel, who gets reunited with the coach who drafted him, Ron Rivera, and they drafted a rookie, Dyami Brown. And so you roll that together, tight end Logan Thomas. And this is, I'm not saying it's a team without a weakness, but, you know, suddenly this seems like a team that could make a good run at a Super Bowl appearance based on a great defense and an emerging offense.
Well, and I would have thrown in there, Paul, too, and I think a weak division, right? Like, I don't think Dallas is really as good as the market believes them to be, and the other two there. I think Philly's in for a pretty bad season, too.
Yeah, great point. Primrose path through your division where they could roll up. You know, they could go 5-1 in that division, pick up five easy wins, and end up hosting a playoff game or two. Great point.
So, Charge, I made this bet a while back. So we're on like the same page right now. I like the football team this year as well. I have them to win the NFC and to win the Super Bowl. Tell us who you like as a, I would say this qualifies as a long shot as well in the AFC.
Yeah, the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, people forget, because they'd sort of written off the Chargers early in the season, they won their last month of games to finish the season, and they finished with 7 wins. They were only one win out of a 500 team, bringing a new coaching staff that can't possibly be worse than Anthony Lynn, who single-handedly cost his team several wins last year. They get Brandon Staley, who takes over after coaching the league's best defense last year with the Rams. And first-year coaches can do well. Look at Kevin Stefanski last year. You know, he got, as a first-year coach, he got his team to the AFC Championship game. You know, so you get an offense led by Justin Herbert, who just posted the best rookie season of any quarterback ever in history by many metrics. Set the completion record, the touchdown record, came up 39 yards short of the yardage record. Justin Herbert's awesome. And you get a Hall of Fame caliber wide receiver in Keenan Allen. You get a dramatically improved offensive line. Remember, they poached Corey Linsley from Green Bay. They added a first rounder to their offensive line in Rashawn Slater, moves I loved. And the defense gets healthy. They get Joey Bosa back. He's good. They get an elite safety, Derwin James, back from a lost season. He's good. And they drafted in the second round Asante Samuel Jr. He can be an impact player right away. Austin Eckler. That is a shockingly well-rounded team. And just if Justin Herbert gets better in year two, like almost every quarterback does, that could be a fantastic offense.
Yeah. And by the way, like you said, to go back, with no more Anthony Lynn as the head coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, that tied in into his second year, I would think he can only get better right now.
Yeah, it feels that way. I'm not exaggerating. Anthony Lynn cost that team wins last year, and you know they may have been a borderline playoff team last season.
Charge, they could have been a 10-win team easily. I mean, so many games. Yeah. The game on the road against the Saints blew a huge lead. The game on the road against Tampa Bay had them down, I want to say, 24-7 going to halftime. How about you take a knee and go to at that point with that lead? No, mm-hmm. We're going to run the football, fumble, and give Tom Brady 10 yards to work with for a touchdown. I mean, it was nonsense. It was over and over and over again. So again, Washington at 50-1 out of the NFC, the Chargers 30-1 out of the AFC. Give us like a guy that you like to win the MVP with maybe shorter odds, and a guy who you like with maybe medium to long odds to win that award.
Well, first, Court, let's just look at the MVP award. Quarterbacks have won this in 18 of the last 21 years. So if you don't go quarterback, you're really going upstream on this. So we're going to go with the quarterback here. There hasn't been a repeat winner in over a decade. I'll mention that. Patrick Mahomes, plus 500. I wouldn't blame anybody. You want to have the best quarterback in the history of the game and you can quintuple your money? Mm-hmm. Okay. I have no problem with that. And I don't even think we have to explain this in any real detail or give any real rationale for Patrick Mahomes at plus 500. So he's the most likely guy to win this and by a long shot. But if we want to find more value, at this time last year, Lamar Jackson was coming off his MVP season. And at this time last year, only Patrick Mahomes had shorter odds. Jackson was plus 800 at this time last year. Now, plus 1,700. That's, he meets all the criteria to win the MVP. Freakish talent, double-digit win total for your team, which you have to have, and highlight play material that electrifies people. And even if you're not watching Ravens games, you're still seeing Lamar Jackson do crazy stuff. Those are all the things you need for the MVP award, and Lamar Jackson fits all of that. He won it 2 years ago. He could win it again here at plus 1,700.
Paul, where do you land with the respect now all of a sudden for Ryan Tannehill in terms of the MVP market and maybe the Titans as a whole?
The problem with Tannehill is going to be offensive workload. I don't believe he's simply going to be allowed to pass enough in that offense for him to be to pile up the kinds of numbers that we want to get for an MVP. If I asked you who's more likely to carry that team to an MVP title, Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill, I still think most people would lean towards Derrick Henry because the usage is going to be there. Mm.
Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Our guest, Paul Charchian, he joins us every football season. Every week on Thursdays at Talk Fantasy Football. His website is guillotineleagues.com. Last year, I had TJ Watt to win Defensive Rookie of the Year at either 14 or 16 to 1. Thought he had a great chance. To win it, right? And Donald took the award. But that's what we're up against, right? Betting against greatness in Aaron Donald. One of, if not the best player in the entire league. So who do you like to win the award this year then, Charch?
Now, so you're going to Defensive Player of the Year,
defensive
correct?
Player of the Year, yeah.
Defensive Player of the Year. Defensive linemen have won the award 6 of the past 7 years. Aaron Donald's won it 3 times. And with just one win in the past decade, defensive backs have to have like a transcendent season. So we're going to throw, we're going to really focus on offensive linemen here. If you want to go Aaron Donald, okay, he's the forerunner at 400-1. He's a safe, low-risk selection. I wouldn't do that, but if you wanted to, that's fine. The guy I like better is the guy highlighted on your screen, Chase Young, 1,600. Last year's defensive rookie of the year. Figures to get even better in year two. And the Washington defense is fantastic. Young has the unique advantage of playing on a defensive line with four first-round picks. Defenses cannot double Chase Young because they have to contend with Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen and Montez Sweat. And, you know, if you roll all that together, not to keep talking about Washington this way, but I think Washington is sitting in potentially a special season. Chase Young is the trigger man for that defense.
I love it. Yeah. I'm going to bet that today if I can find it here in town. And I think 16-1, great number. I'm glad that you pointed that out. I'm a huge fan of Chase Young. You can take this in any direction then that you want. Going back to offense here, offensive player of the year and offensive rookie of the year, who do you have your eyes on?
Let's go offensive player of the year, and it's different from MVP.
It is.
And if you don't understand the distinction here, you're going to end up in trouble with this. It goes to quarterbacks rarely. In fact, for the first 25 years, no quarterback won it. And now, over the last 25 years, quarterbacks have only won it 9 times. Mm. This is a running back award most of the time. Now, here you could still take Patrick Mahomes. And unlike the MVP, which is plus 500, you get plus 700, and I wouldn't blame you for that. But if you want to go running back, because running backs usually do this, there are three criteria that running backs have to meet to win offensive player of the year. You have to be a really talented back. You have to be a workhorse back. You can't take any timeshare guys. And you're almost always on good to great teams. And I've got these two guys for you. Dalvin Cook. Minnesota invested a first and third round pick in its offensive line. Mike Zimmer's always a run heavy coach, so he's going to get enough work. And so Dalvin Cook meets this criteria. If they think the Vikings are going to rebound, go back to being a playoff team, he's in bounds here at plus 1,400. And then the Rams returned the NFL's best defense. They seem ready for a Super Bowl run. In fact, I believe they will represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. At the end of last year, the Rams' Cam Akers showed traits of a special back and a workhorse back. In Cam Akers' last 6 games, he averaged 23 touches per game. And in those 6 games, he decimated the Patriots single-handedly. He won a playoff game against Seattle almost single-handedly. He fits all of the right criteria here. Akers does. He's plus 2,500. And this feels like a really nice opportunity to get on board with a potentially special back in an offense that figures to get much better this year.
Okay, very good analysis. And which rookies do you have your eye on? Are you maybe looking to bet, or you definitely want to get in fantasy leagues?
For offensive rookie of the year, and this was originally was a running back award, but now it's pretty evenly split between quarterbacks and running backs. But let's start with Trey Lance, who walks into a perfect situation. He's got the NFL's best offensive coach, Kyle Shanahan, elite receiving weapons in George Kittle and Debo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, an offensive line that gained center Alex Mack, retained elite left tackle Trent Williams, and like Lamar Jackson, who won 2 years ago, Trey Lance he's a potential highlight machine with both his deep passing and his remarkable running ability. The only question is, will he start enough games? And, you know, we don't know what the runway is going to be like before Trey Lance starts games, but he's really, really good. They moved up to get him. He's the best quarterback on roster. And if they figure he's ready early enough, we can get him at plus 750. And then my long shot, and I love this angle, and I think the number's way out of line. New York Jets runner Michael Carter, it fits really all the criteria we're looking for a rookie of the year, and he's plus 9,000. We get 90-1. He led all of college football in broken tackles last year. Elite change of direction and balance guy. Excellent hands. He'll stay on the field on third down. He's walking to a workhorse role with the Jets, and he's going to run behind two first-rounders, Elijah Vera Tucker and Mekhi Becton. This offensive line has gotten a lot better. So Michael Carter is a sneaky, deep, dart throw at plus 9,000.
Shopping as we speak. I bet Trey Sermon a month ago at 60-1 for San Francisco in case anything happens there to Mostert, and other guys have already been banged up. So quickly here, we have like 90 seconds left. We will talk to you again every single Thursday during the football year this year. I can't wait. It's a great spot. I've seen like the alerts that you guys have sent out on email. I played in guillotine leagues last year. I've said it as you come on. I say it when you're not on the air. It's the best format ever in fantasy football. Tell people about it and the improvements that you made this year.
The premise for the Guillotine League is we start with 18 teams, no head-to-head format at all. Each week, the low-scoring team gets chopped. And the real beauty of it is that whole team's roster goes to the waiver wire where everybody else gets to bid on those players. And so you're, every week is like being in a playoff where it's one bad game and you're out. There's all the anxiety, the craziness, and then the waiver wire is bonkers when these great players all hit the waiver wire. A totally unique format. Just all you have to do is not be last any week. Be the last one standing. You win the whole thing. It's guillotineleagues.com.
You have to. I'm telling you right now, you have to prepare yourself. Get your buddies together this year, right?
Yeah.
Go to the website today, this week, if you're on vacation, whatever, bookmark it. Go there, look into it, and sign up. You play 1 year. 1 year. All I'm telling you, and you're going to be hooked playing a guillotine league. Charge, genius idea coming up with that. We love talking to you, my friend.
Thank you.
I just made a bet on Michael Carter, by the way, to win the Offensive Rookie of the Year. And
nice.
You're the best. Thanks for the time.
Thanks,
plus, not when you're cashing that 90-1. Let's go. Let's go out for dinner.
Absolutely, dinner will be on me for sure if I cash that. Be good.
Thanks, guys. Bye. Yep.
There you go. All right. So Carter, I added one. Yeah,
100-1 over at Will Hill.
That's what I just bet.
Yep.
That's what I just bet. I'm looking right now to see. I want to make sure there's no other place that's completely out of whack with that number.
All right, I'm in. Me too.
Are you?
Yep.
That's okay. Get it. Boy, you gotta love this show. You gotta love Eason. Comes on like that, makes an unbelievable case. Betting live on the air. Terrific. Can he win the Triple Crown, but not the MVP? We shall discuss next.
On DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, just download the app. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each week. Don't wait. Sign up now, and new customers get a deposit bonus of $500. It's code VSIN when you sign up. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, 1-800-GAMBLER is the number, or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Got to be 18 years or older. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Let me tell you, the sweats that you go through every single week playing in a guillotine league, unmatched with any other format I've ever played.
I'm down.
And then to get into like the whole process of the waiver wire and how much you, because you get $1,000 with the fab, like everybody does. Mm-hmm. And once a team is cut, and that team could have Christian McCaffrey, like yep. He could bow out in week one, could have Devontae Adams, whatever. All of a sudden, like this player's, if you do week one, it's going to be a 17-team league because you do it for every single week, right?
Right.
But every team's going to have at least one or two really good players on it, probably more. And then it's like, oh my God, how much do I bid for this guy? How much do I save for the very end? How deep of a run can I possibly make? It's just, why? And then, because I update it the entire time on my app, and when I'm watching games on Sunday, and if you fall behind, you're just like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
I could be cut already like in week three, but then when you survive to make week four, it's like, yes, baby, God, is that awesome.
Have you won one?
No, I made it to the final like six or seven last year.
Okay.
That was a deep run.
Yeah.
You should see the teams that you build up then.
Well, I was going to say, they're probably stacked as hell, and you're probably losing like high scoring affair. Like you're probably loading up points by that point.
Every team with like in the final 10 weeks or 8 weeks, whatever. Sensational.
Aaron Rodgers, Christian McCaffrey, Calvin Ridley. Like
Stephon Diggs.
Right.
That's how teams could look. Okay. Great job by the crew here putting this together. Can a player in Major League Baseball hit for the Triple Crown but lose the MVP? You know, there's a way that you can. How about this? Vlad again opened up. Teddy told us about this yesterday. Points bet opened up 15-1 to win the Triple Crown.
Yep.
Like he can win that award for sure. But can he lose the MVP to Ohtani? Well, look at all the numbers right here. Batting wise, they have the same amount of home runs. Ohtani is only 5 RBIs behind now. Jesus.
This guy's a machine.
The batting average, Vlad, 337 to 272. He has 20 more hits, 2 fewer doubles, 14 more walks. On base is much higher. Slugging is a little bit better. OBP is better. The WAR offensively is 3.8 to 2.7. And he's the favorite to win the MVP at plus 110. Otani's plus 130. But then do we want to throw in Otani's pitching?
I was going to say, you're missing one number right there, right? The 270, and that's the ERA. And here's the thing, too. Mike Trout's coming back at some point, which makes Otani's numbers potentially, they're going to get even better. With Trout batting in front of him, means potentially more base runners. For all these different things, his numbers could get better in terms of the runs batted in.
I mean,
everything else.
So Vlad has better numbers offensively.
Right.
But it's not like a Grand Canyon-sized drop-off.
Of course not.
Right? Otani is, he's right there.
He beats the crap out of him in average, obviously.
Sure.
But like, we're talking like the three keys, we're talking the Triple Crown, like they're neck and neck in that regard.
I did not realize that he's only five RBIs behind Vlad.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that part. And in 13 fewer at-bats. But everything else is pretty much close. The home runs are now tied. The week that Otani hit, did you see that tweet? It was like, somebody, brilliant tweet from someone, I forget who it was. Otani's week. It was like, Tuesday home run, Wednesday home run. Oh, Thursday, 5 innings, 7 strikeouts. He gets the win. Friday, 2 home runs. Saturday, home run. Sunday, home run.
He's so good.
Just nothing to see here, folks. Just a casual, regular week for Shohei Ohtani.
The week as a whole, 6 home runs, 9 RBI, 296 batting average, a pitching win. He went 6 innings, 1 run, 5 strikeouts.
So I think it can happen. I think Vlad can win the Triple Crown, and then Ohtani's going to win the MVP.
Absolutely.
Because if you add the pitching on top of the numbers we just threw out there with the batting, how do you ignore him? How do you have a vote and say, and by the way, the teams are like this. They're neck and neck in terms of the overall record.
Right. And if we're talking about value added to a team, Ohtani has the one thing that Vlad doesn't. He will go out there and throw 6 innings while hitting 2 home runs and driving in an RBI or 3. Right?
Like,
those are the differences.
Can websites like, I'm going to say FanGraphs, Baseball Reference. Does their computer have the capability of mixing in the batting with the pitching to come up with an overall war?
Mm-hmm.
Do you simply just add his war at 2.7 on offense and then whatever it is pitching and then say there's the overall war? Because that might not even be fair.
Yeah, 1.2 war for pitching, 2.7 for hitting, according to FanGraphs.
Guy's incredible.
It's a treat to watch him every day. And yet the Angels are below 500.
If he stays healthy, he's winning this award.
Yes.
I'm quite confident saying that.
All he has to do is maintain course.
And Vlad's been unbelievable. We will get to our in-pocket plays, recap what we had last night, and tell you what we're betting today coming up next.
To determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
Someone gives you 10,000 to 1 on anything. You take it. Take it. Take it.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
You're on. Let's go. Here we go. In pocket plays. Loser last night. Dodgers plus 115. Again, Urias not very good. Padres got the win. Darvish. Did not give up anything in the first. Could have. Did not. And then, you know, Urias gave up 4 in the bottom half. And that was all she wrote. 6-2 final score. Updated Major League Baseball record this year. 28-18-1 plus 13.45 units. White Sox today taking on a lefty. I will go. And they're on the road. So I like that idea. They're going to definitely have, you know, barring rain out, whatever, they will be batting in the top of the ninth inning. A chance to score more runs. Team total over 4.5. I think the juice is minus 104. White Sox team total over 4.5 in this game today against the Pirates.
I like it. So I don't have anything yet. This is dependent on the injury report here. But the Clippers, I think, are going to be very alive if Marcus Morris is going to play. We don't know whether or not he is going to. And that is a key because he is their small ball center. He is the straw that stirs the drink in a lot of those small ball lineups. And if he's not going to be out there, we're talking about more minutes for Rajon Rondo, more minutes for Vita Zubac. Those are things you don't really like for the Los Angeles Clippers in the grand scheme of things. So if Marcus Morris is indeed ruled active and he is going to play today, I will be in on the Clippers plus 5.5. You don't think the market has enough respect for Marcus Morris to adjust off of this 5.5, so mm-hmm. It should be readily available for you. But that is the key here. If Marcus Morris is indeed going to play, plus 5.5, because you saw he only played 21 minutes in game one. It was like the lost storyline of that contest. Only 21 minutes, and they actually still had a lead in the fourth quarter. We're going back and forth the entire time and potentially could have covered that number. Marcus Morris is in. I'm in with the Clippers plus 5.5.
Definitely a chance to win game one.
Oh, yes. Although I was told on social media it was never in doubt.
What was? The win? The cover?
The win for the Suns, yeah.
It was never in doubt.
Never.
But you gotta love these beauties on Twitter and social media.
He's a good guy. I can't remember his name. I'm sure he's listening, but he's a VSiN listener and he loves the Suns. So.
Oh, I was, yes. Okay. All right. All right. It's like this town now all of a sudden. I brought this up yesterday. The Lunatics. Oh. We've had a franchise for 4 years. They made the Stanley Cup final in year number one. Been a perennial playoff team now, right? One of the best teams in hockey. The Maniacs in Las Vegas now over the Golden Knights. It's pure lunacy.
So this is a super Vegas reference, but I think a majority of people get it. So obviously Jerry Tarkanian and Tark the Shark, there was the conversations around changing the mascot for the Rebels, and there were actually these lunatics out here like, you can't call any team the Sharks in this town because we hate the San Jose. It's like, shut up. What are we doing?
Is that what they said?
Yes. What are we doing? They've been around for 4 years.
Oh, my God. By the way, if you're a horse racing fan, First Bet is the place for you. With wagering on races at more than 300 tracks and AI-assisted picks, it is the easiest way to bet on your favorite sport. With secure payments, attentive customer service, and a reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Sign up using the promo code Vegas100 today and get up to a $100 match bonus on your first deposit. Visit vsin.com/horses for details. That's vsin.com/horses. Promo code is Vegas100. As we just discussed on the show, can Vlad win the Cy Young? Check that. Can he win the Triple Crown, but not the MVP? He's not going to win the Cy Young. If he does, my God, second half of the season is going to be unbelievable. Good emails here from Michael Hecht. The email is fteam@vsin.com. Ted Williams did not win the MVP in 1941, batting over 400. That is correct.
Wow.
Betted 406. And what you got to love about Ted Williams that day, doubleheader? Said, I'm not sitting. Give me all the at-bats necessary to qualify. And he did. Did not win the American League MVP that year. Also, Michael sent in, Williams won the Triple Crown in 42. He did not win the MVP. Looked it up right now. They had a grand total back then in 1942 of 24 voters. So first place votes, only 24 of them were given out.
Right.
Ted Williams that year batted .359 with 36 home runs and 137 RBIs, won the Triple Crown. The player who beat him out was Joe Gordon on the Yankees. He batted .322 with 18 home runs and 103 RBIs. By the way, Ted Williams scored 141 runs. Gordon had 88.
What are we watching?
What the hell was going on back in 1942?
Like across the board.
You
think they had war back then? Ted Williams' war was 10.5, 7.7 for Joe Gordon.
Oh, you actually mean the baseball stat, not Ted Williams leaving early for war.
No, not actually war, which he literally did leave for.
He literally left, came back for, and was still unbelievable at. Yes. they did have war. How was this? Wow. They went back and ran the numbers. I'm looking at baseball reference.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Okay, they did.
What are you looking at?
Jeez.
Wow.
Okay.
They have sports radio back then?
Can you imagine? What would sports radio in Boston sounded like in 1942 and Ted Williams?
Joe Gordon, what are you doing?
You got to get the Boston accent in there, too.
Oh, yeah. I can't do that.
Yeah. I'm not going to attempt that here on the show either. And you are getting, I'm not going to say you're getting eviscerated, but people are, if you have other movie suggestions for JVT, whether or not he's watched them, like the start of the show today. I made a Naked Gun reference because of how the umpires were checking out Jacob deGrom and other starters last night. Let me look inside the shorts or the pants. Come on, give me that belt. Give me the hat and everything like this. It was like Enrico Palazzo and Naked Gun. JVT is like 30 years old. You've never watched Naked Gun. You've never seen Major League. People are either blown away at this, mad at you, or throwing other ideas out there. Andrew is asking if you've ever seen the movie Sandlot.
Yes, I've seen Sandlot. Yes.
I think Sandlot just recently celebrated its 25th anniversary.
Right, and that's a kid when you're whatever child rearing services that your parents use, right? I would watch it. I've seen Sandlot several times, yes.
Several times, okay.
Yeah. The Big Green or whatever, the soccer movie, the equivalent, remember that one?
The Big Green?
Yeah, I think so. I got to look this up.
Okay. Have you watched Godfather? I think you brought that up earlier.
Yes, I've seen the first one. I haven't seen second, third.
Second or third? No.
Yeah, the Big Green was a soccer version.
And Richard Robinson says, who's crapping all over Naked Gun? People are way off. Timeless. He says he calls it a timeless comedy classic.
Ooh.
Full of hilarious borderline rated R moments. again, I will be like when I was younger, Naked Gun was at the time my favorite movie ever, right? I was like 12 years old when it came out. I thought this kind of slapstick comedy is priceless. Come on, it was so good. I haven't watched The Naked Gun in probably 25 years, 30 years. I have no idea if Naked Gun would make me laugh today.
Okay, so I'm going to put a poll up and we can get this retweeted on VSIN. If I'm going to watch a movie for the first time,
okay,
is it going to be Major League, Caddyshack, or Naked Gun?
Yeah.
Those are three solid choices, right? Or do I put Shawshank Redemption in there?
Include Shawshank.
Okay, Shawshank Redemption. Those are four.
Yep. Another reminder from Michael. I forgot to bring this part up. Yeah, well documented. Voters did not like Ted Williams. He was a prickly.
Clearly.
He was a prickly pear. Yeah.
He clearly did something.
He was an agitator.
Okay. Them.
Yeah. Did not like the media, and the media kind of threw it back in his face by saying, okay, good. You don't like us here. You're not going to win the MVP.
Can I say it, by the way, really quickly? I thought Naked Gun was a TV show. I didn't realize it was.
That's a movie. You were not born yet. We'll run down today's card. Look at the lottery coming up next. Days for your winnings cash out instantly with BetRivers feature. It's called Rush Pay. Get your cash when you want it at BetRivers Sportsbook, the industry leader with exclusive bets, daily specials, odds boosts, and the most in-play betting options available. As always, get a $250 match bonus, fastest payouts, and only one-time playthrough at BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. The offer is available and valid in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. It is also available at PlaySugarHouse.com in New Jersey. You must be 21. What's the matter? Are you getting some feedback now on Twitter that you don't
like? No, because I remembered. So I put up a poll at MeJVT up on Twitter. You can vote if I'm going to watch a movie for the first time, which was going to be. And behind the scenes during the break, we were struggling to remember the one that I had mentioned, and I just remembered the one that I was going to put up there. Outside of, we put Bull Durham as the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
It was Caddyshack was the...
Oh, delete it then. Put it up.
Okay. All right. I'll re-put this. I'll repost this.
Yeah. This is from the Hot Stove on Twitter. Millennials cannot appreciate movies made before 1995. It's not their fault. Caddyshack, Star Wars, etc. do not satisfy what they are used to as far as comedic shock value and special effects. For us, those movies were cutting edge, not so much anymore. I think that's well said. I think he's pretty much spot on.
Well, at least he's not blaming me. It's not my fault.
No, like, it makes sense, though, right? Like, yeah. What was ahead of its time in 1980... We might look back now and say, this is silly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is not funny at all. People actually thought this was funny. Like, that's it. Now, I mean, it's the shock value has been there for so long that you got to go over the edge every single time to impress anybody with something.
Caddyshack, one word?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. All right, tweet it. There we go. All right, Paul is reposted.
Wayne Morgan says, Slapshot, if you've never seen it before.
Drowning Mona, Richard Rogers tweeting
in? Don't know about that one. And Down with the Dog on Twitter says, watched Naked Gun multiple times when I was a kid. Loved it. I don't feel that way anymore today. It's okay, but I don't think it holds up. Probably okay. Very true. And this is a question on Twitter as well. Have you watched First Blood? How about Bad Lieutenant?
Neither of those sounds familiar.
Now, Bad Lieutenant with Harvey Keitel made my top 10 gambling movies list we did last year during the pandemic.
Okay.
The NC-17 version. Which
I've never seen an NC-17 movie before. No.
They made an NC-17 version. I've said this before. If you can get your hands on it, the first 45 minutes of Bad Lieutenant, NC-17 with Harvey Keitel, I don't know how that movie would get made today. Like, the jaws on the ground. Like, what's going to happen next?
You got me intrigued, really.
Hey, he's a rogue officer.
Okay.
Hence the Bad Lieutenant. But it's like they push the boundary so much, and it's like... I don't know if, like, a movie in 2021, somebody would say that's okay to make.
Okay.
Craziness.
Interesting. Because there was a stretch where me and my wife would go, we were going to watch, like, old school, like, horror movies, like NC-17 movies, like, off the radar. There was one we watched that was, like, banned in Italy and three other countries, and I like movies like that, but you know, low grade movies that are cult classics. I'll watch it.
Like, so in order for you to watch a movie, it has to be banned in a certain amount of countries.
You gotta get dangerous like, you know what? With it, you know?
I'm gonna steal that criteria. The next time my wife wants to watch a movie with me, and it might be some Disney movie about puppies, I don't know. Yeah. Oh. I'm gonna say only if it's been banned in like 6 countries.
All right.
Well, you find me the list. I'll watch anything with you.
I have seen, so this is gonna be a rep. So my wife, she likes those. I don't know if you've ever heard of Hayao Miyazaki. He's an animator, really famous over in Japan.
He's well known, yes, right. Absolutely.
So, but she likes movies in that style. She brought up this movie. It's called Grave of the Fireflies. It is literally the saddest movie I have ever seen in my life. The plot, in terms of sadness, just goes, and then it ends. And you're sitting there in the credits, like, that's it? Like, it was one of the worst experiences I've ever had in my life.
I don't care for that.
Oh, it was terrible.
I don't
it was one of the worst stories I've ever. It was obviously, it was crazy.
Yep. Okay, so we talked about this earlier in the program. We'll bring it back one more time. Tonight is the NBA draft lottery. I like it. You know, I mean, I tell myself every single year I'm going to wait until, if they announce it like at 5 o'clock tonight, I'm going to, if they say the show starts at 5, I'll tune in at 5:27.
Right.
Because it's commercial break after commercial break, and then it's yada, 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 a bunch of nonsense.
Well, but then I'll take a break between the top four, and it's like, come on,
right.
What are we doing?
But I promise you tonight I'll watch the entire thing. Anyway, you can bet on this stuff. DraftKings has up, you know, who's going to get the number one overall pick, who's going to land a top four pick. And again, the we know the percentages, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an allotted number that based on the ping pong balls and where you are slotted at, like this is the exact percentage a team has to win like the top overall pick or to be in the top four. And with the top pick, three teams here, Pistons, Rockets, Magic, all have a 14% chance. And go ahead, take this away because the betting odds for those three teams are all plus 550.
Right. So this is the easiest way to put it. So the Pistons, Rockets, Magic. The lottery is set, as Mitch said, at 14% for each of them to get the top overall pick. They have a 14% chance at the top selection. At DraftKings, you can find plus 550 for all those three teams to win the top pick. The problem with the price like that is the implied probability that you're taking at plus 550 is 15.4%. So that price is telling you that it's actually more likely than the literal odds that they are going to get that first overall pick. So you're getting 15.4% on a proposition that is actually 14% in reality. So there's no value in betting that. And if the price for exactly 14% is plus 614, and even then, there's no value in that because that's exactly what it should be. A value would be at plus 615 or better for you. That would be the price you look for in terms of betting on these lottery selections, at least for the top overall pick. And it goes from there. Cavaliers have an 11.5% chance of the top overall selection. The price is 7-1. The implied probability of it 7-1 is 12.5%, a full percent higher. The proper price for 11.5% would actually be plus 770. So it just gives you an idea of what you're betting into in some of these markets. And so for every single one of these, and it might not sound fun because right every time it's like, what do you got? What's your lack of everything? The lesson here is there is no value in a single one of these numbers for you as a bettor to bet on.
So as I said earlier, DraftKings did their homework.
Mm-hmm.
They crunched the numbers, and there's a hold, right, and a VIG, essentially, that they're making you pay for this, is kind of like the bottom line.
Right.
And why the numbers are not like, for example, if they put up plus 650 on the Pistons, Rockets, and Magic, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like when the actual proper price is plus 614. Are they gonna? Would a sports book make that offer to anybody?
No,
because you're gonna get actually. And again, this is not it's not really a sporting event. It's not a game being played on the football field where these percentages are ever going to change. There's not going to be a player in a basketball game who's gonna snap his ankle in the first 14 seconds of the. James Harden's not gonna blow his hamstring in the first 50 seconds of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like these are slotted numbers that are available, and so. This is more for me. This is for people who are fans of the teams that are involved tonight.
Yes.
Is what it's available. Look, I'm a Pistons fan. I'm hoping and praying they get the top pick overall. So I'm going to put some money on plus 550 tonight that they can land the number one overall pick. Or on like the yes, no with that market, which we did as well a little bit earlier. You can bet the yes, no on these teams to land a top four. Maybe you're, because people do that, right? They mm-hmm. bet. Like they make emotional hedges, they're cynical, they lean negative towards anything else, I don't think. Like, there's no way the Magic are going to get, you know, a top four pick. Or if you're the Timberwolves, right? On the top four pick.
Yep.
Like, they've never really moved up in the draft. The odds are insane for this team. And so maybe you think they're not going to, you know, land in the top four tonight. You bet the no, and that pick's going to go to the Warriors.
Yep. And so, and you look too, so if we could throw up the first four, right, to give you an idea of what else you're looking at, kind of what you were talking about. So they offer yes, no on the first four. Well, mm-hmm. or top four, right? Will a player or will a team select within the top four? So if you look at it from that perspective, top four selections, well, again, use the Pistons because they're at the top. Pistons have a 52.1% chance to land within the top four. The yes is minus 122. The problem with that is that you are betting that price at 55% implied probability, even though the realistic probability, the real probability, is 52.1%. So the proper price would be minus 109, but there's a no on that. So you're thinking, okay, well, why don't I just bet plus 100? The problem is the actual realistic probability that they're outside of the top four is 47.9%, and plus 100 is implied probability of 50%.
Yeah.
So you're not getting your bang for your buck there either way. So it's just simple math, but I think this is a greater lesson and a bigger thing, which is, you know, we're always shopping for value, the V word, which you're always looking for. And when you make your own numbers, you can find value by your own standards and power ratings. But you're always paying a tax whenever we talk about these sort of things, VIG, everything like that. It is shown in an exercise like this.
Sure. Well done. Good job breaking it all down.
I like
and again,
these
this is just like, hey, you know what? I want to watch the lottery tonight. I want to have a couple bucks on it. So I want to bet on a certain team to actually get the top pick overall, or a team to make or miss the top four, that kind of thing. Recreational bets here, you know, on this thing, I think more than anything else. I think this would also be a fun exercise. We could take suggestions from the audience for an entire show one day on whether or not you've watched a movie, and I can make a price on it, and we could take bets.
Yeah.
Like, for example, they're coming in right now. The email is ftm@vsin.com. Like, this to me is, it's a classic. It's one of my favorite, probably top 20 movies of all time.
Okay.
I've watched it at least 7-8 times.
Really?
But I'm going to make the no, like minus $11 or $12 that you've not watched this movie.
Okay.
Usual Suspects.
Cash the no.
Cash the no?
I know the big, I don't want to, do I spoil it? I know the big twist.
Kaiser Soze?
Yeah. Kevin Spacey's Kaiser Soze. Just because of Family Guy, yeah.
So you've watched Family Guy remakes of some of the best movies of all time.
Right, yeah.
But not the actual movies themselves. Okay, yeah. Makes sense.
I've seen like Seven. It. Seven's one of my favorite movies.
You have watched Seven.
Oh, Seven's great. I've seen that many times.
I would have made that like minus $5 on the no.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no, that's what's one of my favorite movies ever.
The run that Kevin Spacey had, like in the 90s, before he found out what kind of human being he is.
Yep.
Like the run with American Beauty. That to me is like a top. I love American Beauty.
I've actually seen that one.
You've watched American Beauty?
I've seen that one. That's one of my wife's favorite movies.
Have you watched Dumb and Dumber?
Yes.
There's Something About Mary.
Yes. I actually saw that for the first time a year ago.
For the first time?
Yeah.
Good still?
Yeah,
it was made probably like a 98.
Because it was one of those movies that was always on cable. So I'd seen it in chunks,
yeah.
But never from beginning to end.
This is incredible. Have you watched Jaws?
Yes.
You have watched Jaws?
I've seen Jaws.
Jaws 2?
No.
Have you watched any of the Rocky series?
Rocky 4.
Nothing before that?
Nothing. Not a second.
Good time to go in. I'll watch Rocky 4. I get the gist.
Right.
I know what happens
that
for the rest of it.
Boxing, slow motion.
Sure. Yeah, they beat each other up. No problem.
Right.
All right. That's it for us. God, keep them coming. FTM@vsin.com. Good luck tonight.